Zechariah chapter 9,
verse 11 and 12. Zechariah 9, 11 and 12. As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, because of the blood of the covenant, he says, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today, I declare that I will restore double to you. Somebody say, that is me God is talking about. Come on, say, that is me God is talking about. Hallelujah. I declare to you that God will restore double to you, you prisoners of hope, in the mighty name of Jesus. You who have made Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, the Lord is restoring double to you in Jesus' name. Somebody shout, I am a prisoner of hope. Oh, that's not a shout. That's not a shout. Shout, I am a prisoner of hope. Now that you have shouted it, you can't forget the title. That is the title of my message. I am a prisoner of hope. And Zechariah said, because of the blood of the covenant, he says, I will set you prisoners free. Any shackle that has held you bound till now, before you leave this place, God is setting you free. I say, God is setting you free in Jesus' mighty name. Now listen to me carefully. Whether you realize it or not, everybody is a prisoner of something. Everybody is a prisoner to something. Some people are prisoners to their jobs, prisoners of their thoughts, prisoners of their imagination, prisoners of negative circumstances. Some people's lives have not shaken out of the doldrums of life because of what somebody else did to them. Oh, somebody affected me negatively, and they are still walking in that negativity because they have become a prisoner of that circumstance. I say today, God is setting you free from that situation in Jesus' mighty name. And there are people who are prisoners of past glory. What you have achieved before has nothing. It has no bearing to what God is about to do in your life. I'm telling you, any height you have reached before is a shadow of the height that God is taking you to. To yesterday may be so great. God is bringing you greater. I say God is bringing you greater in the mighty name of Jesus. That is the reason why no human being should ever rest on their laurels. Oh, I achieved this, and so what? There are people who have achieved more. You that you achieve, you can do better. Tell your neighbor, say, I can do better. I can do better, and I know you will do better. In the mighty name of Jesus. Even the Apostle Paul, he called himself a prisoner of hope. A prisoner of hope. Hallelujah. If we look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, we'll see it there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. We'll see it there. He enumerated it in Philippians chapter 3, chapter 4. We don't have time to go into all of that. Hallelujah. But now, you have to understand that you are a prisoner of whatever is controlling your life. Whatever is controlling your destiny. Whoever is dictating every move you make, every decision you make, you are a prisoner of such person, or you are a prisoner of such things. Hallelujah. There are categories, different categories of prisoners. If we are prisoners of hope, then there are prisoners without hope. So I'm going to talk first and foremost about prisoners without hope. And number one on that category, in that category, number one online, is the devil. The devil and his demons. They are prisoners without hope. Praise the Lord. They can never be saved. Satan can never be saved. Demons can never be saved. They cannot plead mercy. They cannot cry to God for mercy. The Bible says that even if they claw and claw and claw, they can't claw their way to heaven. It's not possible. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in John 16 and verse 11, the ruler of this world is judged. The ruler of this world, Satan, is already judged. He's a prisoner without hope. And everyone who is still following Satan is a prisoner without hope. Anyone who is allowing demons to control their destinies, they are prisoners without hope. Today, I declare freedom for you in the mighty name of Jesus. Satan and his court, they are destined for hell. I've told us before, Satan is not in hell yet. But the day of his sentencing will come. Praise the Lord. The day of his commitment to hell will come. The Bible says he will be thrown into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. It's not my preaching today. Praise the Lord. The number two category of prisoners without hope, they are the people who died without finding repentance. Some people are so blessed that on their deathbed, they ask Jesus to come into their lives. Not everybody has that grace. There are people who died without the opportunity for them to repent. I'll give you a few examples. There are people like Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He hung himself. He didn't give himself the opportunity to repent. And if he had asked for mercy, God would have shown mercy at the time. What about Dathan, Korah, Abiram? If you check number 16, they poked Moses in the eyes. They said, "We are all anointed. Why do you think you are the only one God has called to serve? Why do you think you are the only one God is speaking to? Oh, it is through you alone that God will say, let's do this, let's do that." And there are people, those kind of categories, even in churches today. Why is it always that it's the pastor that God is speaking through to do something? If God is going to speak through you to do something, go and start your own church. Praise the Lord. They poked him and Moses fell on his face and went before the Lord. And the Lord said, "Bring the incense, spread the incense." And he prayed and the ground opened up and swallowed up. Dathan, Korah and Abiram, they had no opportunity to repent at all. Praise the Lord. That is why don't join anybody to speak negative about men of God, especially when you are not a man of God. You are not a woman of God. They are not your servants. They are servants of God. Let God be their judge. If not, you will share in their pain and suffering if you are not careful. What about Achan? Achan had no room for repentance. God said, "When you go to Jericho, nobody should touch anything in Jericho." Jericho was God's tithe. Israel was going to conquer 10 cities to enter into the promised land, Canaan. And God said, "Jericho, no man should touch anything." And Achan touched, and the Bible called it the accursed things. If Joshua and his army were able to overcome Jericho, after Jericho they went to Ai, a small village, and Ai beat them to nonsense. And Joshua was surprised. He tore his clothes and went to God in prayer. And God said, "Did I not tell you not to touch the accursed things? I told you don't eat the tithe. When you eat the tithe, every other thing is cursed. What is not meant to fall you will fall you. What is not meant to be destroyed in your life will begin to go haywire. But if you give God what belongs to him, be rest assured that God will see you through with the rest that you have." Praise the Lord. And God said, there is somebody with the accursed thing. And in the camp, they found out it was Achan. The Bible says they called his father, his mother, all his children. They killed them. They burnt them alive. Because God did not want such to follow them into the promised land. Praise the Lord. Some people today will say, "God is so gruesome. God is so this, God is so that." If you are in the position of God, I don't know what you are going to do. But you are still a human being. Imagine the wickedness you have shown people before. Praise the Lord. What about one of the thieves on the cross who mocked Jesus? Who else had the opportunity to repent? There were two of them. One repented, the other one mocked him. The one that repented, Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The other one went to hell. What about the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man who disdained God. He disdained Lazarus. In Luke chapter 16, Lazarus was full of sores sitting at his gate. He never cared about him. He never cared about the poor. You can't be in this world and walk through life and God is blessing you. No matter how little God is blessing you, no matter how much God is blessing you, you should be a blessing to the less privileged. The less privileged around us, you should be a blessing to them. Never say, I have nothing. Out of what you have shared, it's in the midst of your lack that abundance will be built because you decided to sow a seed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What about men like Hitler? Men who wanted to conquer the whole world and began a national and international genocide and started killing the Jews. His plan was to turn Africa into a farmland. He died without repentance. A man like Pharaoh, many pharaohs died without repentance. What about Herod? The Herod the Terrible, that's what he's called. In Acts chapter 12, he had already killed John the Baptist. He had already beheaded John the Baptist. He was going to kill Peter. He stood out and he began to speak. And people were applauding him. Wow, he's speaking like God. This is God speaking. Immediately the Bible said that an angel came from heaven and struck him and warmed at his body right there instantly. Instantaneous judgment. He had no chance for repentance. Those are prisoners without hope. Praise the Lord. There are people whom you have labeled great today that when we all get to heaven, we'll find out that they are not great at all. Hallelujah. And I'm not bashful about saying this. Even recently, I think I shared it here. Recently, the Pope said there is no hell. Yes. Go and Google it. He said it. He said there is no hell. He said when sinners die, they just disappear. A little boy asked him and said, my father is in heaven. Will I see my father in heaven? He couldn't answer the boy. And yet he has 1.something billion followers. Followers to where? If you are not following Jesus, you are following somebody else to hell. If you don't know the truth for yourself, nobody will. No, let me tell you something. The salvation of your father or your mother is not your salvation. I've told us before. Because your father is a bishop. He's a reverend. That doesn't make you anything. You need to confess Jesus as Lord and personal Savior. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. She had to wait in the upper room to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I have shared this before like a joke. If you were born in the back of a car, are you a spare tire? If you were born in a bakery, are you a loaf of bread? Praise the Lord. If you were born in a barrack, are you a soldier? You know? Until you consciously and intentionally make an effort. Number three category, people who have not accepted Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior. They are people without hope. They can be religious. We have a lot of religious people in church. People go to churches and they are very religious about it, but they have no truth. The Bible says in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I keep on telling us, when God created the earth, when God created the heavens and the earth, he didn't bring anything together. It was his word. It was the word of mouth. Praise the Lord. And God said, anything beyond God said is fetish, is a lie, is from the pits of hell. Anything beyond God said. Because men are looking for quick ways. Guess what? Satan can give you quick ways, but you will pay the price. At the end, you will pay the price. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can be religious. Religiosity will not help you. There are people who say, oh, there are many ways to God. You can get to God any way, anyhow. No, you are a prisoner of no hope. Listen to what the scripture says. Jesus said it emphatically in John 14, verse 5 to 6. John 14, verse 5 to 6. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I know the way, the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. He is the only one who can say that. No prophet will ever tell you, oh, any prophet that says, oh, I am the next Jesus, is prophet lying. Is prophet lying. Amen. I have lived with some prophets before, so-called prophets. I've told us before. In the morning, they are with marijuana, smoking. They will go to their church and they will be prophesying to people. No wonder they are seeing vision. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The prophecy you need is in the Bible. Somebody say an amen. Amen. The sure prophecy any human being needs is where? If you can't open the Bible and read yourself and study, you will be deceived. You will be a victim. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. He says, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Only Jesus. Can I hear that name? Can I hear that name?
Jesus.
Only Jesus. Oh, you know, Muslims too, we make heaven until that day. We'll see. The ones who didn't repent and accept Jesus, we'll see. We'll get there. I hope you make heaven and you witness yourself. God is not a mountain you can climb from any side. No, it's only through Jesus. There's no other way. Praise the Lord. Anyone who has not given up their lives to Jesus Christ, you are a prisoner without hope. You are a prisoner without hope. There's no salvation in praying to angels. There's no salvation in praying to angels. There's no salvation in praying to a dead relative. There's no salvation in praying to Mary. There's no salvation in doing this. It's all tradition of this means nothing. It's nothing, rubbish, nothing, nothing. It doesn't save you. If Satan is going to slap you, do this 1,000 times, he'll be slapping you as he likes. What's the meaning of this? Did Jesus do this? The Bible says in Revelation 22, verse 89, now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, are you putting it up? Thank you. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that. Don't worship me. He said, for I am your fellow servant. Angels are our servants. They are ministering angels. God created them to serve you. God created you higher than them. Angels were not saved by the blood of Jesus. Jesus did not die for them. Jesus only died for you and I. Angels are envious of you. Praise the Lord. So you can't be begging angels to hear your prayer. He says, see that you do it not, for I'm your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Everybody say, worship God.
Worship God.
Hallelujah. Then who are the prisoners of hope? The prisoners of hope. The righteous. The righteous who have died. Who had died before who had died after the fall of mankind, before the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. People like Seth, people like Pharez, people like Noah, the patriarchs of old. When they died, they didn't go to heaven. Before Jesus was born physically and died on the cross and rose again, only Enoch had been to heaven because he was taken and he was no more. And after that, he was Elijah. That's why at the Mount of Transfiguration, who did Peter, James, and John see? They saw Enoch. They saw Elijah and Jesus transfigured. Because those were the only ones in heaven. And Jesus came from heaven. Anyway, praise the Lord. Righteous Abel, Abraham, and some of the patriarchs mentioned in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. But then, Jesus, after he died, before he ascended into heaven, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, the Bible says he went into Hades to lose the righteous dead. How? By preaching to them. They had to accept him as Lord and Savior. That's why the Bible says they saw his days. They saw it. Praise the Lord. Is somebody following me? Ephesians chapter 4. This is what Paul said. Verse 8 to 10. Therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. You wonder who are the captive he led captive. Or the captivity he led captive. And gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. That's where hell is. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Hallelujah. He went there and loosed the likes of Abraham. The bosom of Abraham was not paradise. The bosom of Abraham was not heaven. Nobody in hell can see heaven. But when the rich man was in hell, there was a different compartment. He could see Abraham. I'm begging Abraham, do this for me. Turn Lazarus to go and dip his finger in water. No, but when Jesus came and loosed them all from that Hades and took them to heaven, nobody can see hell. Nobody can see heaven from hell. It's impossible. Praise the Lord. People like Jacob called Israel, Isaac his father, David, Noah, just to mention a few. Then in Matthew 27, verse 44 to 45, time will fail me. As Jesus cried on the cross and he gave up the ghost, the Bible says that the veil of the temple was torn into two. Who was the veil? The veil is Jesus himself. The veil is Jesus. He hung on the cross. His two hands parted into heaven as an invitation. Now everybody, whosoever will come unto the Father, whosoever will. The only priest, the high priest, who became the only sacrifice that is required, has been sacrificed. Nobody needs to go into the holies of holies to make any sacrifice for anybody again. Amen? It signified access. You have access. I have access. Everyone who wants access to God, call upon Jesus. He will give you access. Jesus will give you access. Access to the Father. Praise the Lord. He hung on that everlasting altar called Calvary. That day, Via Della Rosa was filled with red blood. The blood of Jesus. The only blood that was required. No longer the blood of bulls and rams. No longer bringing pigeons. No longer making all nasty, negative, smelly sacrifice again. The fragrance of the death of Jesus Christ is enough for your salvation. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. As he hung up and gave up the ghost, the Bible said that the earth quaked. The earth shook. The earth shook. He says, and the graves of the saints were opened that day. In all over Jerusalem, the saints who had died, they rose. Some of them rose. They rose from the dead. They were the ones Jesus led. The Bible says they went into the city. They showed themselves. I don't have time to break down those categories of dead people who rose at that time. Hallelujah. These were prisoners of hope. Death could not kill their hope. Death could not keep their hope of glory. When you don't have the hope of glory, you have no hope at all. When you don't have the hope of making heaven, you have no hope at all. When you are talking about, I hope I build a house. I hope I graduate. I hope I buy a car. Those are lesser hopes. Oh, I hope I have a baby. Those are lesser hopes. Hallelujah. You don't even have to hope to have a car. Go and walk. Praise the Lord. You get a car. In America, they sell $500 cars. They sell $1,000 cars. And they sell any kind you can afford. You don't need hope. You don't need hope for that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the day I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I've shared it with us here. I had no hope. I was in Sunday school that day. And the teacher was teaching on the reign of the Son of God. And suddenly God opened my eyes. I saw hellfire. And I saw people falling into hell. I saw people wailing in hell. I heard their cry. In the midst of it, I heard the voice of God. And he asked me if I wanted to end there. That was the changing moment for me. From having no hope, I become a prisoner of hope. That day I knew that my hope was built on nothing less but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Hallelujah. Before then, I thought I was all of it, not knowing that I was none of it at all. I had nothing to myself. There's nothing I have made before. And I've made money before. I did. I did have a lot of money, you know, but nothing was compared to that very day. If I had millions of dollars that day in exchange for my salvation, I would throw the $1 million into the hellfire and I will embrace salvation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I gave it all that day. I began to walk with him. From that day, I moved from a prisoner of no hope to a prisoner of hope. Until now, I've not turned my back. And nothing will make me turn my back. No human being will make me turn my back. You know why? I keep on telling you, it's not because of what somebody else said. It's because I had an encounter. I had an everlasting encounter. I saw hell. I knew it existed. Praise the Lord. I know hell exists. I've seen heaven. I know heaven exists. God has shown me a glimpse. I know it's for real. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And God has not turned his back on me. If you turn towards God, God will not turn away from you. He said, call upon me, I will answer you. He says, I will answer you. Call me. Don't go and beg somebody else to call God for you. What are you doing? If you have professional callers, they are not calling God for you. They are calling God for themselves. They are just eating your money. Praise the Lord. They are just deceiving you. You are waiting on somebody else to be praying for you. What are you doing with your own life? What are you doing with your own mouth? The veil is open. Go and talk to God as you can talk to your friend on the phone and talk. Go to God and talk. Speak your heart out to him until you are blue. He will answer you. But because we can't invest time in a relationship we need to benefit from, we want to pay somebody who would deceive us to help us build that relationship. No human being can help you build that relationship. Only Jesus builds relationship. He's the only one, the propitiation for our sins. He's the only one that connects us to God, nobody else. Praise the Lord. I can categorically tell you, brethren, that I am serving the Lord in spirit and in truth, because I have a revelation, because I have the one, Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, living inside me. Let me tell you something. If you are not saved, until you consciously give up your life to Christ, you are not saved. You are not saved. Serving God is a serious business. Worshipping God is a serious business. It's not a religion. Marking time in church. Somebody saw you. You know, you look good. You look nice. Fine. But in the eyes of God, you are wearing rags. You put on all the perfumes in this world. In the nostrils of God, you are smelling like a rotten flesh. Praise the Lord. Except you make Jesus consciously your Lord and Savior. If you give Jesus your life today, you become a prisoner of hope. The prisoner of hope is the one God says he will give double. Praise the Lord. And human beings are not patient enough. We're not patient enough. Praise the Lord. If you are a prisoner of hope with your heart on Christ, that's when you can declare and boldly say it, I shall live and not die, to declare the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. I shall live and not die. My children shall live and not die. My wife shall live and not die. Even when the verdict of the doctor come, you stand your ground, because I'm a child of covenant. I shall live and not die. Nothing is going to happen to my family. Nothing is going to happen to my mother. Nothing is going to happen to my father. This evil will pass. It's not here to stay. You are not here. You are not permitted in my home. You are not permitted in my family. There's revival in my home. There's revival in my family. Guess what? Because I am a prisoner of hope. Come on, somebody say, I'm a prisoner of hope. Hallelujah. When you're a prisoner of hope, then you can stand and intercede on behalf of your community. You can go before the Lord and your heart is heavy for your community, for your household, for your street. Amen. The other day, my neighbor came to knock on my door. There's a rose bush just by my door. I'm not a green thumb person. So the bush will grow and die, grow and die, grow and die. You know, I don't care about the bush. It's not the burning bush. Praise the Lord. And she said, Carl, do you want this young man to trim the bush or to cut it? I was initially like, cut it. Then my mom came out, because she's always wanted to see the sun. I said, don't be deceived by the sun. It can be sunny, but it's cold. You know, she stepped out, saw my mom. They greeted each other. Before I knew it, she started telling my mom, oh, Carl is such a nice person. He's a good neighbor. They're always helping me. Since my husband died 3 years or 4 years ago, himself and his wife, they've been there, this and that. Do you know the name of your neighbor? Do you know the name of your neighbor? Do you show love in your neighborhood? Do they know you as a child of God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe with the sincerity of my heart that there shall be a revival in this city. Through Wisdom Assembly, there shall be a revival. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you. Those who have not been here before, they are still going to come. The crowd are going to line up to come into this church. Into this church to lift up holy hands and worship God and jump and dance and glorify God and testify of the goodness of the Lord. If you believe with me, shout a good amen. Amen. We are going to become a militant community, creating revival, praying revival, declaring revival in this city. And the government will know us that we exist. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that people with a genuine heart to serve, they are going to rise up in this church. They are going to rise up in this place. Our children are going to rise up to serve God. People with the right heart to serve God, they will drive into this place. They will walk into this place. We are not here during the week. People come here with their cars and they do all kinds of stuff. I declare and prophesy today, anyone who drives into this environment to do anything negative, the grace of salvation will appear to them. The presence of God will overwhelm them, will overshadow their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Is somebody believing with me? We are prisoners of hope. Prisoners who believe that we have to pray kingdom advancing prayers. Prisoners of hope who will do and carry out everything that God has put on the inside of us to do before we die. You will be empty. Somebody touch yourself and say, I will be empty. I will be empty of all that God has put inside me. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. That hope you carry will become a reality. I say it will become a reality. Everything you have been hoping for shall become a reality. Everything your family has been hoping for shall become a reality. The burden that God has put in your heart will not die, because you're a prisoner of hope. Somebody say, I'm a prisoner of hope. I said, somebody say, I'm a prisoner of hope. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, Rise up and be counted for kingdom's sake. Rise up and be counted for kingdom's sake. Rise up and be counted for kingdom's sake. Let me serve a note of warning. And I'm saying this under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Don't wait too long. Don't wait too long to do those things that God is nudging you to do in this ministry. You know why? Because God is telling me, he says, I will raise up a substitute. Jesus said, if you don't worship me, I will raise up stones. I pray that nobody else will substitute you in the presence of God in Jesus' name. You want God to do things for you, and it has not occurred to you that God is waiting for you to act. God is waiting for you to act on his word. God is waiting for you to do what he's telling you to do. God is waiting for you to obey his word, to obey his prophet. Praise the Lord. I want to round up this story with this story. I want to round up. This story is found in 2 Kings 8, verse 1 to 6. A woman who was a prisoner of hope. In 2 Kings 8, 1 to 6. Then Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can. For the Lord has called for a famine. And furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years. So the woman arose. She believed, arose and did according to the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines 7 years. It came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines and went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. Then the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God. That's a different story entirely. There's no time. Saying, tell me please all the great things Elisha has done. Now it happened as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life, that there was a woman whose son he had restored to life, appealing to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him, so the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, restore all that was ours, and all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left the land until now. Let me break that down. 7 years of famine. God said, leave. She left. If she had stayed, she would die in that famine. Hallelujah. When she came back and said, I want my land back. I want my home back. Guess what she received? They said every produce that our land should have produced in 7 years. It was year of famine. Go to the king's store and give her all that the land could produce, all the arrears, everything she had, more than she had. Listen to this. He says, restore all that was hers and all the proceeds of the field. What was the proceeds of the field in famine? It was famine. Everything was dried. But the storehouse had so, the king said, give it back to her. He says, every prisoner of hope, he says, I will restore to you double. I want you to rise up on your feet. I want you to rise up on your feet. This is my year of significance. This is your year of significance. And the Lord is going to make your life significant. God is going to make your destiny significant. In the name of Jesus, somebody declare it and say, this is my year of significance. I am a prisoner of hope. Satan, you cannot stop my blessing. I am blessed. Come on, say it like you believe it. I am blessed.